What's up, my people? Welcome to Fellowship Bible Church's Sermon Spotlight, where we are coming at you each and every week with a fresh weekend to debrief in an effort to send biblical truth. And what better way to do that than by the power of conversation? And I'm Rose Locke, and I get to host this time, and yes. I'm really excited to do that.
I am so excited to be here because of that intro, Rose. Did that feel good?
It felt awesome.
Awesome. Very good.
Because I'm passionate about sending biblical truth.
Yes.
And I'm also passionate about the power of conversation.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. So who am I?
So this is Caleb.
I'm back on the grid, kids.
Yes, and we are so glad that he's here with us today because he did a great job hosting the Fellowship Family Meeting.
It was really fun. For those of you that missed the Sunday evening family meeting, I was off work all last week. Hannah and I moved into a new home, so we're loving that.
Congratulations.
But it feels good to be back on the grid, and that was kind of the first day back. So
I was on vacation last week too.
It was fun. You were.
Yeah.
And you came back.
I wasn't even vacating. I came back to help.
Yeah, you did.
I was still on vacation.
Shout out to Rose. She got my Kahoot trivia to work when none of us could figure it out.
I didn't.
You're the answer woman. We go to you when we don't know what's going on. And then introduce that bad boy over there.
And then this is our wonderful, delightful, loves to watch the clock and walk around Tim Sanford.
I knew it would be
a... Which part of that is true and what's not?
Both are true.
Loves to watch.
I knew it would be a brightly colored shirt. I didn't know which one. Love the green.
Yes.
Love the green, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, did you see? Even the shoes are matching.
It's matching.
But we forgot to call because you and I both wore black.
Yeah, we should have. We should have texted Tim probably.
Sorry. Well, here's the difference. You guys have been on vacation, so you've been vacated.
That's true.
And you're raring to go, and me, not so much. So I have to jazz it up a little bit with something.
Gotcha. Okay, so they always make me talk first when I sit in that seat to my right, and I never quite know what to say or where to start. So now
it's
you
fun.
Get to feel that.
I feel it. It's a warm seat. So let's do this little bit of a Sunday in review. Daniel 6, Tim, I love what you did with this story. Daniel in the lion's den. It's cliche. I've heard the story a million times. Yeah. And I love, really, even before we got to chapter 6, what stood out to me is, and Hannah mentioned this to me over the last couple weeks, is like, you can tell this trust in God theme is going to continue.
Yes.
So it's not going to feel like just a bunch of one-off stories in Daniel, but rather, you're going to be another clear, almost the most famous opportunity in the Bible of like, oh, wow, trusting God with lions. So really appreciate that. I shared this with you Sunday evening. I just wanted to mention it here as well. You mentioned in the second service, right as you were starting, like you can see it. People are connecting with what they're learning about the book of Daniel, and I've seen that too as we've gone through it, and it's been so encouraging. The stuff I've heard from people as we study it, many people studying it for the first time, they just love coming each week because it's like, wow, they've expressed gratitude that this is the context they're studying for the first time in, as a congregation, not on their own wondering what in the world's going on here, but allowing us to guide them through it and them meet about it. So it was very encouraging.
And I think, too, our world scene at least enhances our perspective of, what we're talking about, like, you could see this fitting in right now, right? I'm not saying it is necessarily, but there's so much more of an urgency, if I can say it that way.
Tension, And I think that came up even when there was the decision to do Daniel. I think before Mark and some of us were meeting, and people were saying, like, we should do Daniel.
Yeah.
Or I have so many questions about this, about that. So it's definitely ringing true with whatever's going on. Mm-hmm. But,
Well, I think I'll just throw out there that I like the big picture stuff, but I also like how it applies to my individual walk. So as I was thinking through being here today and as I was thinking through what you taught on, Tim, I started thinking, okay, great. We can say that we should trust God, but when we're in a lion's den, and I use that metaphorically, you know, and literally, of course, in this case, but when our spouse has cancer, or when when we lose our job and we don't know how we're going to pay our rent, that's when kind of the rubber meets the road on this whole trusting God thing.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. Like, I really liked what you said, and I would like for you to repeat it for us here about prayer.
Please do it word for word.
So I don't think you said it on Saturday, and that's one of the reasons I'm asking you to repeat it, because on Sunday, you said about, like, when we pray, we trust. Like when we pray, we see what he does, which leads us to trust him more, which leads us to pray for him more, and leads us to thanksgiving. But I didn't remember exactly the order. So I wanted you to share that again.
Yeah, it was more the idea of we talked about praying. We talked about giving glory to God, having a thankful heart. And it would seem to me anyways that so often as believers, we look at those kinds of things, anything that they're just representative of, and say, well, I need to be more thankful. I need to pray more. I need to glorify God or whatever. And we look at a deficiency of some sort, and then we kind of come up with some resolution of how that should be brought about. What I was advocating is look, all of those are actually outworkings of trusting God. If as you get to know God, you are then going to trust him more, or at least you have the opportunity to grow in that trust, right? You're not going to trust him if you don't know him. So as you get to know him and you learn to trust him, guess what happens? A thankful heart begins to exude out of you, right? Because here's what I'm trusting him for, and I'm seeing him accomplish, not necessarily the outcome that I want, although that might be happening too, right? But it's not dependent upon the outcome. It's that God is doing all things well, and I can learn to trust him, and I'm thankful for that. And I can actually even be at a place where I'm thanking him in advance of the outcome. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing is true for prayer. You know, we try to work a growth pattern or something, you know, with prayer, rather than as I get to know him and trust him more, I find myself turning to him in prayer because I'm recognizing so much more that I cannot accomplish these things, but I know the one who does, and I can trust him.
Right. And I think this is kind of where, like in our sanctification process, this to me is kind of where the rubber meets the road. This whole, like, we get to know him.
Yeah.
And then we face this lion's den, or we face this fiery furnace, or we face this cancer diagnosis, or we face, you know, some other issue. And now we have to make a choice, right? So are we going to take what we know to be true in our heads?
Right.
And are we actually going to apply it in this situation?
Yeah.
And I just think that, like, watching Daniel's life, and I said this morning in our worship team meeting that this is one of the characters where we actually get to watch him from the time he's 16 until he's in his 90s,
right?
And so, like, the continuous, constant application of this trust in God principle and how he grows in it, it just is an encouragement to me that, like, making those choices to know God and to trust him,
which I think is so key when we study the book of Daniel or a specific passage or story on a Sunday morning, you can easily forget what we're actually learning about is the life of Daniel. And even if you study that, you can actually forget what we're learning about is the life of God or the story of God. And so I love that you did bring out the fact this is a 90-year-old dude. They searched his whole life for dirt and couldn't find any. I just love that on a Sunday morning in a room full of that many people, that is what we were focusing on, as well as the crazy story of the lions, right? Because it's going to be so easy to jump right to that. Okay, blah, 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 the Hufflepuff and the lions in the den. And we always focus on that. Children's school always focuses on that. You mentioned the book of the sunlight coming. There wasn't any. Like, I just love that little detail because that's actually exegesis. It's an there's no sunlight in there. It doesn't say that's what happened. So the idea of Daniel being in peace except for the lions, totally false. It was utter darkness and despair. At any moment they could pounce, they can see he can't. What a vivid picture of what was going on. I really appreciated that. Yeah. Hearing the story of the lion's den for the 50th time, but understanding it to a certain degree for the first time.
And you know, I think, I can't prove it through scripture, but I think that he spent all night trusting God. Because like you're saying, like, they could pounce at any time. I don't believe that God actually voiced, Daniel, be at rest, no lions will get you, right? Like, I don't know that there was any moment.
Right.
I think that when Darius shows up and says, are you alive? You know, he's able to say, look, God has shut the mouths and I have been trusting him all evening long, right? In that stuff. And the reason I point that out is because oftentimes we want a moment when that moment arrives so that we no longer have to trust him. It's funny how we work towards that, when in reality, it's the trusting him that honors him. And it's all the time, right? It's not just getting to the place, I'm done now, I don't have to trust him, because he shut the mouths of the lions and they won't eat me. No, I'm going to keep trusting him. Because circumstances of life are often that way, right?
Right. Or if it's God showing up in mighty ways, and then you're like, oh, that was so clearly him. What a magnificent experience. And then that fuels you for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then what about those seasons where you're not sensing him, or yes, or he seems silent?
Yeah.
And how can we understand the faith there?
Right.
It's a very different. A lot of people live their whole Christian life like that, yep, waiting for the next aha spiritual moment.
Yeah.
But there's
ride the wave
and
for a while.
And I don't know if it was this weekend or last weekend. You mentioned like steadfastness.
Yeah. God, this.
I think this passage mentions steadfast.
Yes.
So he's not up and down and ready to whip you, ready to reward you, and always monitoring you. It's he is unchanging.
Yeah.
And we spend our whole lives changing all the time.
Can I take another tack?
Sure.
Just a little bit. So one of the things, and you emphasized this, and you even had it on the screen, so I know in all your services you emphasize this, and it's this, God will never lead us to become independent of him, but will always orchestrate events that will strengthen and build our confident trust in him. And I think that, so the word that caught me there actually was the word independent.
Yeah.
And the reason that word caught me is frankly because we live in the United States of America, and this idea of independence and freedom is something that has been valued for generations, like generationally.
Permeates our culture.
My grandparents, my great-grandparents, my great-great-great-great-grandparents would say that independence and freedom are valuable and important. Mm-hmm. And so when we stand up inside the church and say something like, you know, like being independent, basically being independent of God is a really not a good thing.
Right.
And so when we say things like that, we are actually being countercultural. So I wonder if you can speak to that idea just a little bit.
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, that's great because it you're helping to identify really kind of where some of this comes from, because we are a democracy. And in a democracy, that is a great value. But what God is dealing with is a theocracy, right? Like he's in charge. And the more I understand that, and the more I know that he is good-willed towards me, and I'm learning to trust him then, no wonder he's not wanting to be independent of him, but wanting to have dependence upon him, because that's truly actually where freedom comes. We like the independence in a democracy because of our freedoms, our liberties. But if you read in scripture, you find freedom in Christ, liberty that's in Christ, is I'm free to be who he wants me to be, not who I want to
there's
be.
There's an anchor involved there. And I love the juxtaposition between the biblical version of freedom and then the experience of our world where, oh, no, that's not freeing. Well, I tried that, didn't work. Now let's try this thing. That's why I love the totally different framework. There's a book called Single, Dating, Engaged, Married by Pastor Ben Stewart. And in it, he describes biblical freedom is not the absence of boundaries.
Right.
It's the ability to fulfill created intent. So that's what freedom is, the ability to fulfill created intent. And he unpacks that and supports it biblically. It's a great resource, by far the number one resource I use for 18-year-olds through 30-year-olds, as you can imagine what they're dealing with. But that is what freedom is. Galatians 5 even speaks to that a little bit. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Mm-hmm. The very next phrase, stand firm.
Yeah.
You're free, might not want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
How fascinating is that?
Yeah, and I just think that, to me, that is a... In a sense, it's a paradox because at least for me, being raised in the United States of America, you know, and saying the Pledge of Allegiance and hearing over and over again in school and in other environments how important our freedom is and our independence. And even, I mean, I'm a woman. Let's talk, you know, the women's liberation movement. So this idea that we should be completely free and independent, juxtaposed on this idea that God is not going to actually lead us or allow us or guide us towards independence from him, I just think is a really valuable and important point that you brought out,
because
Tim.
Because all of those, take the women's lib as the example, that is promoted then, in my opinion, from a self-centered perspective, right? I am free to thus and so. But what you're describing, or what that author described anyways, is actually I think our founding fathers understood some of that, of the freedom to, how did you put it there? The
fulfill created intent.
Fulfill created intent. So this is how God has created you as a woman to be. You should be free. Women's liberation mm-hmm. should cause you to be free to be all that God intended you to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And
right.
that's where you're going to actually find true freedom. And I think that not to get off on the rabbit trail, but right. I think there's a lot of things that we're pursuing in our society as we determine our free, right? Or our liberties.
It's chains.
Right. It doesn't bring me into that at all. Mm-hmm. It's sawdust in the mouth is what mm-hmm. it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think then that's sometimes why, like always, you said always orchestrate events that will strengthen and build our confident trust in Him. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of the key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Idea there. Yep. So I was very thankful for
anything,
that.
Anything this weekend, Tim, anything to add? You've been reflecting on it?
Yeah. You kind of tapped into this a little bit when we first started. And this is in verse 26 of Daniel 6. And it's after the whole event. And then Daniel, or Darius rather, writes to all the people, nations, in verse 25. And 26, he says this. He says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. And then he goes, for he is the living God. He lists out a bunch of things. And I think that is an interesting thing because, you know, Darius, good intention, let's say, has all this event, knows that this is the living God and recognizes what he is going to say here. But he thinks that by making a decree amongst his people, that this is what will happen. When in reality, if we're going to actually trust God, it's not because somebody decreed that upon us. It's because we are actually getting to know Him. So Darius, again, maybe meaning well, but the reality is for him to say, for he is the living God. Remember, he said, you're the servant of the living God, right? Like he wasn't tying in. Now he seems to be tying in because he learned, oh, he is. That's who he is. He's the living God. Well, you can't decree that upon me. I have to learn that too if I'm going to really put my trust in this living God. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for us to recognize because it comes back to the choices, again, that we make in regards to all this and realize that this is a vibrant walk with Him down through the years. No wonder it's from, you know, 14, 16, somewhere, you know, into his 90s. No wonder that's necessary for us to continue in that too, because it's a constant learning process, not just a one-time decree. I've got it and I'm ready to go.
And I don't remember the king's name, but when we started Daniel, Mark alluded to another king who had good intentions and tried to do that same thing. We're going to do this. You're going to honor God. He decreed people trying to convince them to change their hearts.
Yes.
And I think all of that is some biblical support against Christian nationalism. Oh, if we can just fix the whatever or amend this or stop amending the Constitution, it'll fix all our problems.
Yeah.
The top-down government approach to what the Holy Spirit's doing, like, let's not put all our eggs in that basket.
To me, the issue is this doesn't change the heart. Right. doesn't change heart. You can follow the king's decree with no change whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But when the Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart and is teaching you about God Himself, and you are more and more in love with Him and learning to trust Him, now it becomes an issue of the heart. Which is, again, why we're talking about like Thanksgiving or prayer. Those are all issues of the heart. I pray because I have a heart to talk to God, not because I'm demanded to talk to God. Totally different perspective. If I'm demanded, guess what? It's going to be up and down and more times down than up in reality. Mm-hmm. But when the heart is caught, this is what I was giving an example of me and Sue, you and Roger, you talk to each other. Nobody has to force that upon you.
Yeah, Roger and I were sitting next to each other. Unfortunately, Roger and I don't often get to sit together in church. And this Saturday, Roger and I were sitting with each other in church and we really enjoyed that analogy because that's just ludicrous, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I get home really late at night because I'm out doing things here, and I'll come home and Roger usually stops what he's doing and comes and sits down beside me so we can have a delightful conversation because we haven't seen each other for a while.
Yep. You know?
And it's the same
Rogers, I want to sit next to Roger someday. I love Roger.
Hey, I offered this seat to Roger today.
I don't think he wants to be on here, but I mention him every chance we get. Yeah, it's a matter of the heart. Small example of that. I've always kind of gone the speed limit my whole life, but many times I used to want to go faster. Since I've had a kid, I don't have a huge desire to go faster than the speed limit anymore because I'm like, this is actually meant to keep people yeah. safe. And I have a, I have a son back there now. I'm not going to get caught with a speeding ticket with a kid in the back seat. Yeah. I want the other drivers that are driving at me to be going the speed limit. Right. But that's a heart thing. I would always follow the law as a 17-year-old, rolling my eyes. I wish I could floor it. This would be so fun, but I don't. But now I don't for a much different reason. There's a heart involved.
Excellent point.
It's just a, that's just a, maybe a silly example, but it's an example of kind of that mature aspect of it. And what you're saying is, I got kids and youth that think God is decreeing, pray more. Mm-hmm. You need to do this more, do this more. What does God want from you? Well, he wants me to pray more.
Yeah.
He wants me to go do this, this, and this, instead of the awareness of what does God want? Well, he wants you. And here's the length he went to get you.
Yeah.
And then we address what do we do after that? And so that gratitude and prayer can be a natural outflow of that. Earlier, you were sharing a ton of great examples of the negative, the cancer, the frustrations, the struggles.
Yeah.
Hannah and I, by the grace of God, are experiencing a little bit of the opposite of that now, in the sense that baby number two's on the way. We just moved into a brand new home. We have found ourselves a little bit like, God, can you really be this good? And we have we have been praying. It's been very overwhelming. Yes. And there's been an increase in our prayer life, because it's like, oh, okay, God, like you brought us to this point. Our family's growing. We did make this, you know, scary, fun step. Let's pray. Like Hannah and I will look at each other in the middle of what, okay, you feel like we should pray? Let's pray. And then there is just a thankfulness and a gratitude, not out of a, we gotta be that, but it's almost a healthy fear. Well, Lord, this is not our house. It's yours. Oh my goodness. I can't believe we're here.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's just a different.
Yeah. Right. Well, and I mean, that's what he says, right? I make it, well, this is ESV. So I make a decree that in all the dominions of my kingdom, men are to fear and be in dread before the God of Israel, to know him.
And
in
that can happen when good things are happening, when bad things are happening. The point is, it doesn't matter. We can always take every thought captive. We live as if that verse says, take some of the thoughts you want captive.
Yeah.
It's not it. So.
But I think it's important that our aim, our desire, I'll say, for our own growth, like pairing that up with God's desire, is that he is reaching our heart, not just our outward expression of it, right? And so we can, because of the deceitfulness of our heart, we can be duped into thinking that by expressing thus and so, an outward expression, that it's actually a part of us.
Which takes us back in the circle to, we have to know who God is.
Right.
We have to know him.
And all of this comes around, I mean, you talk about now, so you got a second one coming. Well, as a parent, you're going to have to model some of this. And it's easy. We know this, right, Rose? We know how easy it is to raise children looking only for behavioral practice, right?
That's right?
As opposed to raising our children in order to gain the heart and get them. Well, God is raising us, if you want to use that same terminology, and gaining the heart. That's what he's looking for.
Well, I remember hearing my daughter. It's really kind of fun when you get to hear your kids share their testimonies, right? And I remember my daughter sharing her testimony, and her testimony was that literally she's in the shower. Thinking place, right?
Yes.
Someone else said that recently. She's literally in the shower. She's about seventh grade or so. And she's thinking, and all of a sudden it dawns on her that it can't be my faith and it can't be her dad's faith that she has to really believe herself that this is true.
How awesome is it that the Holy Spirit got her to that point in seventh grade instead of 23 years old?
Right.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
Heart condition.
Yeah.
That's what he's looking for.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's good.
Okay. Do I get to wrap it up now?
You certainly can. Yeah. Okay. So do you know, outside of that outro there, do you know of anything else you want to point people towards? This is kind of whatever we got coming up, but otherwise
Cover. We're going to review Daniel. We're going to review chapter 1-6 this week.
Okay. Awesome.
And then next week we're going to dive into chapter 7. So the worship team is really looking forward to that. But I'm going on vacation again.
Very good.
I was on vacation last week. We're going on vacation this week. So anyway, I don't know much that's going on except that we're just learning to love. We're learning to know God more.
Yeah.
And trust him more.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So, do you know anything else that's going on?
No, I think that's good.
Okay. Awesome. All right. I'll read this little part. I'm supposed
to
read this.
Do it. Love it. Thank you.
And it's really true. I'll just say, we read this, but I read when people comment on these videos mm-hmm. on the YouTube channel, or when people send questions, I read them. So mm-hmm. I think it's really great to yeah. have conversation and to answer and ask questions and be challenged. I think that's kind of one of the places where we learn. So for all our listeners and viewers, remember, we love to hear from you. You can send over your thoughts, questions, or requests. Head over to fbcva.org/podcasts and write your notes and comments. And check out the other two Fellowship Bible Church podcasts, which is Fellowship Family and Global Church. And those Global Church podcasts, man, they're coming out like
they've been popping off once a week, it seems.
And they're very, very good. Awesome. I'm really enjoying those. And the fact of the matter, everybody, is that sermons are not meant to take an hour, but rather transform a lifetime. So until next week, much love and God bless.